this time of the year, many reflect on the past year, where we are, where God wants us to be, and plan to make changes to help us move closer to the mark God has set for us. This year, ask God to examine you, show you where you need to change, and help you make those changes. With God's help, this year can be your best year ever.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
A lot of people this time of year are getting ready to go to the doctor for their annual physical and annual examination. But also, a lot of people, even if you're not going to the doctor, a lot of people actually do spend time actually examining themselves, examining their lives. Are you on track with what you need to do? Are you doing what you should be doing? Are there areas that you can improve on? What do you need to do that you're not doing? Or what do you need to stop doing that you have been doing? What can you do better? What do you need to cut out? So we're going to actually look at this from a biblical perspective and actually look at how we should actually examine ourselves. And the Bible actually teaches us, first of all, to ask God to examine us. And then it also teaches us that we are supposed to examine ourselves as well. And for reference for that, we're going to actually look at Psalm 139. Beginning in verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And this is not the only passage that talks about God examining us and asking God to examine us, but we do need to go to God and ask Him to examine us, ask Him to reveal anything in our life that needs to change. Ask Him to actually show us what we need to cut out, what we need to do better, what we need to do instead of something else, what we need to improve on, what we need to repent of. We need to ask God to do that, to examine us. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, the Apostle Paul admonishes us, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will find that we are not disqualified." So one of the things that's interesting when you look at Christians and Christian doctrine is there are Christians that will tell you that once you're saved, you're always saved, and there's nothing you can do that can cause you to lose your salvation. And then there's other Christians that every single week they're repenting of their sins and recommitting their life to Christ because they're totally afraid that they're going to go to hell because they actually, and that maybe they're not Christians. And really, the Bible actually teaches, first of all, that God is sovereign in salvation. Once we are saved, I do believe that we are saved. But the Bible also teaches that we are supposed to examine ourselves. We're not just supposed to assume that because we go to church, because we do various things, that we're going to heaven. And we're going to read, probably next week, we'll actually discuss this a little bit further, where you'll see both the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul, both of which, I believe, did firmly believe that when God saves you, you are saved and you're not going to lose your salvation. But both also strongly admonished people, Christians, to make sure that they are in the faith, to actually examine ourselves. So it is proper for us to examine ourselves, for us not just to assume that because we said a prayer or because we go to church that we're actually going to heaven. to actually make sure that we are in the faith, to examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. And if we are in the faith, there should be some fruit from being in the faith. We should actually be more like him this year than we were last year. And at this time next year, if we do what God requires of us, we should be more like him next year than we are this year. And the apostle here is saying, you know, unless you are disqualified, but I trust that you are not disqualified. So we're going to look at a few different topics, and we won't get through all of these today, but we're going to look at examining our physical bodies, examining our priorities, examining our finances, examining our personal relationships, examining our spiritual relationship with God. And we're also going to talk about developing a biblical worldview, the importance of actually reading the Bible and looking at the world through the lens of the Bible. And then also applying that not only to your life, but also to your family, to your church, to the church at large, and also to civil government, and even examining the civil government to see and to determine whether they are actually honoring and upholding the word of God. So when we look at our physical examination in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, we read, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" So our body is actually the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're not our own. There's a lot that is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, sins that actually, sexual sins and other sins that actually do when we commit these sins, if we commit these sins, that we're sinning against our own body. God wants us to be holy. He wants us to be set aside for him. He does care about our physical bodies as well. You know, I want to be as strong and as healthy as I possibly can to be able to accomplish everything God wants me to accomplish. I don't want to get to a certain age in my life and say, well, I can't really do anything anymore because I'm just so physically out of shape, I can't do what God wants me to do. I want to be able and capable. And obviously there are times, and there does come a time in most people's life where you can't go out and do what you used to be able to do. But certainly we need to do what we can do to make sure that we are as strong physically as possible so that we can accomplish as much for God as we can possibly accomplish. And really also, when we're physically fit, it's going to impact our finances as well. And our finances are important. It's important for us to live below our means, and living below our means and allowing God to bless us so that we can bless others as well. It's also time that we examine our priorities. And this is something that's very important. We need to examine our priorities. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, we see, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come." So now, one of the things we need to just think about the context of this was written at a time where they didn't have mass transportation. They didn't have automobiles. They didn't have motorcycles. They didn't have scooters. They didn't have bicycles. Most people didn't have horses or donkeys even. You know, if they had a donkey, that would be high-speed travel back then. You know, they did travel on ships, but even that was, it wasn't a ship with a motor. It was a ship with a sail, and there was work involved. If they wanted to go to the store, they actually walked to the store. Even when they wanted to go to the bathroom, they had to walk to where the bathroom was quite often. And so we live in a society today where you can go to work, sit down, and be there for hours. And many people are sitting there in front of a computer and don't even have to get up to get a piece of paper that they printed because the printer is within arm's reach. So there is a need for us to actually move and us to be involved and physically fit, even as we were talking about. Our body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are designed to move. We need to move. So it's not that exercise isn't important and that it doesn't benefit us. But we also need to realize that being godly and doing what God wants us to do is even more important than being physically fit. And we need to have a balance there and to place a higher priority on actually being fit spiritually than we do on being fit physically. There are some people that spend hours every day getting into top shape and yet don't read the Bible and don't pray or spend very little time reading the Bible, very little time praying, very little time praising God. We also see in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17, he who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. And really, one of the things you see in the book of Proverbs, quite often you'll see things that are very, you'll see people that actually seek pleasure but don't receive pleasure because they are poor. And really, someone that's diligent, someone that's working hard, someone that is actually focusing on what needs to be done, actually, God can bless them and they can be wealthy. And really, sometimes they can live more of a life of leisure than someone who is poor. And so it's important that we realize that we shouldn't seek after pleasure, that we should actually be diligent in our work. And we shouldn't seek after wine and oil, fatness, because that won't make us rich. And really, certainly not everyone will be rich, but God has given us the power to get wealth for the purpose of establishing his kingdom. We'll read about that here in a few minutes. We also see in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So we are to seek, and the things that he's talking about are food and clothing. When we think about this today, we can also add in shelter. Really, that we shouldn't be worrying about our provision. We should be praying and we should be diligent to do what God wants us to do. But we don't need to worry about it. We need to seek first God's kingdom. And when we're seeking first his kingdom, we need to realize that he will add and provide for us and add the things that we need to our lives. And again, that doesn't mean that we don't get up, that we're laying in bed being slothful, that we don't go to work, that we don't show up on time, that we don't give 110%, that we don't arrive early and stay late. Certainly, we need to be doing what is necessary to actually earn the living that we live, but we also need to not worry. We need to praise God and to seek him first and to allow him to do a work in our life. It's also time for our financial examination. And when we have this financial examination, it's not just examining our finances, examining where we are, examining, and there's a lot. Really, we're not going to be able to go over everything the Bible says about finances. We did a few months ago cover being diligent in our Labor Day sermon. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning of verse 6, we read, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So here we see that we are to have godliness first. Again, we're to seek first the kingdom of God and allow God to add the other things to us. We're to realize that we can't take anything with us. You can be rich. You know, there are people that, you know, want to be buried with their gold chains, and you know, you can be buried with whatever you want to be buried with, but you're not taking it to the other world. The only thing we can take to the next world is the good deeds that we've done, or really, if we've done evil deeds and we haven't repented of those will precede us as well to the other world. But we need to actually be godly and to not have this desire to get wealth. We need to not have a love of money. It doesn't say here that money is evil or that money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil, from which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So it's important that we actually don't have this love for money and a lust for money, and that we're not greedy for gain, that we're actually putting things in the right priority. And then the Bible also does tell us that God does give us power to get wealth. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, we read, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." So God doesn't want us to lust after money and to have a love of money and to actually allow ourselves to become greedy and to stray from the faith because of that. But he has given us the power to get wealth. And he's with this power to get wealth, we actually have the ability to actually earn money, earn an abundance more than what we need, and to also be disciplined to not just spend it on ourselves, to not be seeking after pleasure, but to actually have an abundance so that we can pay tithes to the church, so that we can pay offerings, so that we can be generous, so that we can help out the poor, so that we can actually, and the Bible specifically says here, to establish God's covenant. So God has given us the power to get wealth for the purpose of establishing his covenant. And that's really the purpose of wealth here on this earth for us as a Christian. God wants us to use our wealth for good. He wants us to use our wealth to establish his covenant. And certainly there are many other biblical principles. In Proverbs chapter 27, beginning in verse 23, we read, "Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price of a field. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and the nourishment of your maidservants." So here God is saying, hey, listen, look at what you have. Look at what God has blessed you with. Don't just assume that it's going to stay there forever. Continue to do what you need to do so that you can have an abundance, so that your family can be provided for, so that you can then even still have that abundance that we talked about to be able to help out others, to be able to further the kingdom of God and establish the covenant of God. We should not just assume that because things are good now that they'll always be good. You should be looking, you should be planning, you should be making sure that you are doing what is necessary to, one, build the skills that you need to have, to be able to earn the money that you need to earn. If you're working for someone else, you need to be the best employee that you can possibly be. So valuable that your boss will not want to let you go. If you're working for yourself, realizing that really you, the one who signs your paycheck is your customers, and you need to go above and beyond and please your customers and do what is right there. And there's so many things that we can go over with that, but we need to be diligent to know the state of our finances and what needs to be done so that we can actually have an abundance for good works. And then we go on. It's time to examine our relationship, our relationships. In John chapter 13, beginning in verse 34, we read, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. For by this you will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So we are to have this love one for another. And really, this is to be a sign to others that we are Christians. We shouldn't have to go around wearing Christian shirts. I'm not against wearing Christian shirts. I do wear Christian shirts because they're a witness to those who are lost. But people need to see us and know that we're Christians because of our love one for another. When people, if you're married, when people see you with your spouse, they need to know that you love your spouse. Not that you're constantly arguing and bickering and fighting and wondering, well, you know, I want to get out of here because these people are constantly tearing each other up. We need to show that we are Christians because we have love one for another. And this also means that we have love for others, for other Christians, and that we have love for people that aren't Christians as well, that we actually can actually look and at someone, maybe even someone that we don't particularly like. There are people that will maybe rub us the wrong way, people that we look at and we say, well, you know what, I'm not quite sure that I like that person. But we really need to love them even if we don't like them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we read from the passage that talks about love so much, beginning of verse 4, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." So here we see love. It suffers long. It's kind. When we're dealing with other people, we need to be long-suffering. If someone is getting on our nerves, we need to not be quick to anger. We need to put up with that to some extent. We need to be kind to that person. We need to not envy, not look at what someone else has and want what they have. We need to, love does not parade itself. So we shouldn't be going out and saying, hey, look at me. Look at how great I am. Look at all the things that I can do. Look at me. I'm so awesome. We need to not be going out and parading ourselves. It's not puffed up. It's not prideful. We need to remain humble. Even when God gives us success, we need to remember that that is because of God. It's not because of us. We need to be humble ourselves and not be puffed up. Does not behave rudely. There are people, you've met people, maybe even you've behaved rudely. I know I have sometimes behaved rudely. Love doesn't behave rudely. And so where we have not behaved rudely, we need to, or where we have behaved rudely, we need to repent of that. Love does not seek its own. So love is seeking for someone else to have preference over oneself. It's not provoked. So if you're slow to anger, that's a sign that you have love. And we should not be provoked easily. Thinks no evil. So really, when we look at someone, we shouldn't be thinking, well, I wonder what they're doing wrong. We should really have love for them and not be thinking that they're doing things wrong. We should be actually building them up. Does not rejoice in iniquity. So when someone falls, when someone does sin, we shouldn't rejoice in that. But we should rejoice in the truth. Bears all things. So when someone is actually doing something that bugs us and annoys us, we should be willing to bear that. Believes all things. But we should believe the best in other people. And hope for all things. We should hope that God would do a work and really even pray for them that God would do a work. And endures all things. So we should, when we're going through difficult times or when someone is actually being mean to us, when someone is actually being annoying to us, we need to endure that and ask God to help us to endure this. And next week we will go over again some other features, including, or some other principles, including our spiritual examination, developing a biblical worldview, and also examining the government as well. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When the earth rejoices for the Lord and the multitudes of the isles are glad. When the Lord has established justice in the earth.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Happy New Year! At this time of the year, many reflect on the past year, where we are, where God wants us to be, and plan to make changes to help us move closer to the mark God has set for us. This year, ask God to examine you, show you where you need to change, and help you make those changes. With God's help, this year can be your best year ever.
The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise.
Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. for the Baptist Bible Hour right here on the Good News Station, WCNO.
Greetings. We invite you to join the Word of Truth International Ministry with Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope every Saturday at 8 a.m. as we break the bread of life and teach the Word of God right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Join us every Saturday at 7 p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM. For a special program, Thy Word is a Lamp, where you will hear the dynamic teaching of Sheila Suarez, the fresh manna. Thy Word is a Lamp, the fresh Word of God, children of God.
Thy Word is a Lamp.